ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्परा श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् ॐ ईश्वरम् गुरुरात्मेति विभागिने व्याप्तदेहाय ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवामहै तेजस्विनामधीतमस्तु दिशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. See, you are of the nature of happiness. You can never attain happiness. Okay, you can only claim happiness as your nature. You can only take ownership of happiness as your nature, for which you need to discover what you are. That's why happiness is something to be discovered and not to be attained. We always say. And if happiness that you are aspiring for should be everlasting, it cannot have a beginning. The happiness you're aspiring for cannot have a beginning. If it has a beginning, it will have an end also. If it's going to end, and then definitely you are not interested in such happiness. You are not interested in arriving, departing happiness. You are interested, you're aspiring for only everlasting happiness. Everlasting happiness alone cannot go. If something should not go, means it must be there always. It cannot have a beginning. If it doesn't have a beginning, means it cannot be anything other than yourself. Because you are the only reality. You are of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, this happiness which you are aspiring for also is what? Cannot have a beginning. It cannot have a beginning means it must be there as your own very nature. Therefore, it cannot have an end also. Understand, you will never lose happiness. Because happiness is just your nature. Just to take ownership of the happiness as your own sarupam, to claim happiness as your own nature, just you need to discover what you are, isn't it? What you are means, the problem is, our identity is so strong, this gross body. I need to discover myself means what? You are thinking of objectifying. When I say you have to discover what you are, when I say, again you're thinking, seeing yourself as the physical body and you're thinking of again discovering something else. No. Here you have to see yourself being the knower. You must be convinced of the fact that you are the knower. Therefore, as a knower, you are distinct and different from the known. And as you are different from the knower, you are different from, distinct from your own body, mind, sense complex. Not only the objects external to the body, mind, sense complex, including your body, mind, sense complex, everything comes under the category of the known. Therefore, when you see yourself as the knower, you stumble upon a very, this mind-boggling fact. Oh my God, I am the knower. I, the knower, am formless, abstract. Such is the reality. And this reality, what name can you give? What word can you use? You can only say in terms of your understanding. You arrive at the reality not as an object. How do you arrive at it? Do you arrive at it as an object? No. You arrive at it as the knower. Again, there's no knower. Knower is only just a temporary qualification. What you arrive at, what you stumble upon is the formless. The something which is there is the reality. That reality or something which is there is formless. Abstract. And he can explain it inexplicably subtlest. And you arrive at it in terms of its nature of knowing. Knowing. When you search for their intellectually, you're searching for who the knower is. There's no knower. And that knower is what? What is there abstract, isn't it? Is of the nature of knowing. And then it's a big thing. So when you say I is actually nothing but this abstract formless reality of the nature of knowing. Chidrupena. Understand? You arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Then that reality itself is what? Is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness. That's why happiness doesn't begin. Happiness has no beginning. Happiness, being inadequate, is being unhappy. Being full is being happy. But fullness is happiness. Understand? Fullness is happiness. Inadequacy is unhappiness. Because being full, fullness is very nature. Filling everything is your sarupam. Because that's being abstract. There's nothing beyond reality. Nothing beyond this abstract formless reality. And everything, reality is beyond everything. Understand? What is beyond what? Not in terms, not distance from himself. When you negate everything as an object of knowledge, what cannot be negated is subject. Subject, if you search for what subject, then you arrive at it as the knower, awareness. And you are of the nature of happiness. So happiness is not something to be attained. This we've been saying from day one. Happiness is not something to be attained because it is not away from you. What can be attained is what? Anything and everything other than you can be attained. Absolutely nothing is away from you. Nothing is there. Absolutely there's nothing other than you is there. There's a second thing other than the reality. Absolutely, isn't it? Relatively, you can say what? Again, attainment itself is what? Attainer and the attained. This attainer, attained duality, division itself is possible only relatively. Absolutely, there's no attainer, nothing to be attained. There must be two things now. Absolutely, we don't have two things. We are going to understand later on. But now, relatively, when you say you are an attainer, you want to attain something, what is to be attained is something away from you, then you can do some action. You can make some efforts. You can attain something which you do not have, which is away from you, other than you. Understand? As an ignorant individual, very natural for us to have desire for attaining many things. So when what you want to attain being away from you, other than you, it is possible to make efforts to attain something. When that is away from you becomes your own, you attain. You have a sense of having attained it something. Understand? But here, happiness is not something to be attained. Why? It is not away from you. Not only is not away from you, it is not even other than you. It is yourself. If you look at the fire and say, you are heat yourself. What does it mean? Oh, fire. Hey, Agni. Okay. Tum. No. Aushnyamasi. You are yourself the heat. You can never attain the heat. Poor Agni wants to attain heat. There's never a time you are not hot. Okay, the heat is your swarupam. Being hot is your swarupam. You are the very aushnyam. You are the heat yourself. It's a very intrinsic, inseparable property of yours. But here, your swarupam is what? Happiness. So you just, how I'm happiness, isn't it? What is happiness? How do you know that? You experience that. Not as, okay, as yourself. not as your own swarupam. In fact, in deep sleep state, in deep sleep state, when you are just yourself, when you are yourself means what? When you are without any identity. Knowing your existence, if you have right identity, then there is happiness. Unfortunately, in deep sleep state, you are yourself, but not knowing your existence. So whenever you are yourself, without requiring to do anything, what is there is sukham. Understand? There is Advaita Anubhavaha in sleep. There's a non-dual experience in sleep. Not non-dual vision, but non-dual experience in sleep. You alone are there. There's no jagat. There's no second thing other than yourself. In sleep, there's no second thing other than yourself. You alone are there. When you alone are there, you are there not knowing your own existence. Therefore, nothing else exists for you. There's no knower, known duality in sleep. You have to wake up from sleep to recognize the experience the duality. Understand? When you are in sleep, there is no duality. Is a duality? Because you do not know you are knower. Understand? Even though you are the knower, something is known, but still you are there as what? As Advaita Anubhavaha. This non-dual experience. You are just yourself. There's no second thing other than yourself in sleep. So whenever you are yourself, when there's no identity, okay? What is there is what? There is no experience of pairs of opposites. So absence of experience of pairs of opposites is what? Bliss. If you know, knowing you are, if the same experience is there, that is your swarupa. Why there is no sukh, no dukkham? Why there is no disturbance? You are just yourself. Understand? The sukham is what? Your own swarupam. Got it? There's no disturbance. So sukham is being happy is your swarupam. It's not your something you attain. Therefore, what you love the most is happiness, which is your swarupam. Therefore, the most you love in the world is yourself. That is why you never cease to exist. You always want to be there. Sadaham Bhuyasam. May I be there always, always. Because you love yourself the most. You love yourself the most because you love you are of the nature of happiness. Three reasons why you should know. Understand? So what it is said here. And here, I can tell you one more thing. In total knowledge, you can claim happiness as your swarupam. In total ignorance, without helping, claiming, you are just yourself. In total ignorance, there is bliss, there is sorrowlessness. In total knowledge, there is happiness, which is, again, your own swarupam. Understand, which is manifestation of your swarupam. But here, total fullness. So happiness is expression of fullness. Manifestation of fullness. Not fraction. And in partial or in partial ignorance, you go through the experience of pairs of opposites. Pain and pleasure. In total ignorance, bliss. In total knowledge, happiness. In partial ignorance, you go through pairs of opposites. pain and pleasure. But you don't want pain. Then the only source, what? You can't be sleeping all the time. So you have to wake up. Yeah, enough, you wake up half, wake up fully. So being awake fully means what? When you discover your sarupam, when you know you are, you discover what you are, then you have what now? You are fully awake. Okay? Being awake to the reality. What you are. Again, this also I say it from the beginning, introductory class, I always say, unhappiness. What is unhappiness if you understand? Unhappiness is there only because of the constant, continuous problems you have in life. Okay? The problems in life are because of the common human fundamental problem. Unhappiness will not be there at all. The unhappiness is not there. What is only happiness? Which is your sarupa. When you are yourself, there's only happiness. So, unhappiness because of the problems in life. What problem? Don't ask, okay? I don't need to explain what problems we have. Everyone has his own problems. Hundreds of problems. And all the problems you have, Shastan says, those problems seem to be problems only because of the common human universal fundamental problem. Shastan says this. If this common human universal fundamental problem becomes resolved, I tell you, you will not find anything what you see as problem. Now you tell me, any number of problems you tell me. Okay? All the problems can be resolved. Shastram says, whatever you think as specific problem now, that problem, including mosquito bite, including the heat, including the sweating, including the discomforts we have, physical discomfort we have. Of course, physical discomfort is not denied. In spite of physical discomfort, you can still be happy. The problem is, our happiness and our physical discomfort, I'm not denying. Physical discomforts are there. Physical discomforts need not your being. Disturb your being. Disturb your nature. Understand what I'm saying? If you claim your nature, the physical discomfort will become insignificant. All the discomforts, okay, we excel discomforts, simple discomforts, the problems. Shastram says, not like this one, simple, these are very, very simple ones. Even so many big, huge problems we have, how much you are disturbed, all the so-called anything which disturbs reasons is a problem only. All the problems, the human miseries, the problems causing human misery is because of, Shastram says, because of this universal common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of insecurity centered on I. The problem is centered on I. Understand? That because all the notions you have about yourself are erroneous. And that the notions are based on your perception. Any notion you entertain about yourself is based on what? You can't have a notion of your own. You have a strong notion based on your perception. Isn't it? Shastra's perception of yourself is different. Your perception of yourself is different. Who is right? You're Shastram right or you are right? You are right means you become Shastram. You become Paramahan, isn't it? So your perception, your conclusion, your notion, is it, of yourself, the image you have about yourself is based on your perception of yourself. And Shastram starts there. The very perception of yourself, your perception of yourself is erroneous. your own perception of yourself is erroneous. Naturally, your perception of the world also is erroneous. Because you mistake yourself for something which you are not. And that this adhyasa is mistaking yourself for something which you are not is because you do not know what you are. And you do not know that you do not know what you are. There is ajnanasya ajnanam. Is it? It's ignorance of ignorance. And at least the shastra exposure, first of all, exposes you to what? Ignorance. Shastra exposure exposes you to your ignorance. Understand? So when you become exposed, you come to know, yes, I do not know what I am. Especially this triptishi wake up prakriya which is used. The method is, method of distinguishing yourself from the known, from the known is used. That is when you understand, yes, I'm mistaking the known for the knower. I'm mistaking the body, the known, for I, the knower. You come to know of the error in your perception only when the prakriya is used. Until this diktishiveka prakriya is used, you do not even know, you can't even accept the fact that there is error in the perception of yourself. You have to clearly see, yes, body is the known is taken to be the knower. I, the knower. I have a strong identity in the body. Not only in the body, the mind and sense organs. That is when this teaching does not contradict your reasoning, when you accept, you see the fallacy, you see the problem, you see the error being there in your perception of yourself, then you understand why this, how come this error happened. It is not, nobody is responsible for this error in perception. You are not responsible, but nobody else is responsible. Very natural. Error in the perception is very natural. Because ignorance also is natural. Ignorance is not created. Ignorance also is not created. What is this ignorance? Isn't it? In beautifully we say, Mahamaya. I say it tomorrow in the class, morning class. Okay, if we don't go to the temple tomorrow morning, I'll tell you. Okay? Otherwise, definitely I'll tell you, I wanted to do this. Okay? You are. Ignorance is also right. Ignorance has no beginning. Ignorance is natural. Ignorance caused erroneous perception is very natural. Error caused wrong notions. Error caused erroneous perception based erroneous notions are natural. And the notions be notion, the notion cause to bond, limitations to problems also natural. Understand? That is why repeatedly it is said what now? Moola karanam, is it? Moola karanam is what? Ajnanam. So it is, ajnanam is not blamed. Ignorance is not a crime. Being ignorant is not a crime. Very natural. This is a problem. Ignorance is resolved. Ignorance caused, the error in the perception will be corrected. The error becomes corrected. The notion, error in the notion, erroneous notions can be resolved. Notion is resolved means what? Then all the fundamental problem will be resolved. The fundamental problems become resolved, all the problems will disappear. All the so-called problems which seem to be huge mountain-like problems will disappear. Will disappear. Now the problem which seems so real will not be a problem at all. That is why we love Shastra. Understand? Because love for yourself brings you to Shastra. Okay? Satyam, isn't it? Natural. So we say now the whole huge mountain-like problem also will disappear. It will not be there. If this the fundamental problem or sense of smallness, inadequacy, insecurity centered on I becomes resolved. So, in fact, and the problem is not dissolved, problem becomes resolved. Resolution of the problems happens when the error in the perception becomes corrected. The notions become resolved in the wake of the urge. Then you do not attain happiness. What is happiness only. Understand? And that happiness being your own Swarupam is again, you know, that is why. That happiness being your Swarupam, and there's always you love yourself. And the most loved is the pleased self. And you are the most loved by yourself. That is why you want to be there always. May be there always. May not cease to exist. Because you love yourself.
In any meditate, you see the blackness and you have certain happiness. Want to be the happiness is one question. Second question is, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, there is happiness there also. What's the difference between those and the problem?
We are not talking about Samadhi at all here. Any Samadhi is a state of experience, a state of mind. How deep sleep state of experience, the state of experience, state of mind, the Samadhi is a state of experience. Nirvikalpa or Savikalpa. Okay? Any Samadhi is state of experience. Experience means comes and goes. In experience also, you maximum in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, you can just be yourself. First time. But how you are in sleep? What is the difference? Nirvikalpa Samadhi, consciously you are there. Even, but still there also, you do not know you are. You have to, you do not know you are. Whenever you do not know you are, okay? When you do not know you are, then there is your yourself. You can't have identity. In Samadhi also, you lose your identity. Therefore, you are yourself, there is some sukham. So that experience is what? Any experience has a beginning, has an end also. And we are not interested in Samadhi Sukham also. Okay? We are into Samadhi Sukham. Because it comes and goes. We are not into experience at all. Without requiring to have any experience, you're repeatedly listening and having the clear vision itself is what? Is the only solution. Only means. Understand? It's very, very important here. Of course, in sleep, effortlessly, naturally, all the thoughts become resolved. In Samadhi, effortfully, okay, you make all the thoughts resolved. Have your thoughts resolved. So there's a blankness of mind. And then, there's some sukham. Once see, people had experience means, again a thing, oh, that's something, they're very difficult for them to let go of the experience also. Because if you didn't have any experience, your tank, it's good. Because some tapas, some experience, some practice, some hard work, you might have had some experience. But any experience happened, there's something very nice, I lost it means what? Lost. Experience don't need to worry about it. Does it help you now? If this jnanam, knowledge is that which is always helpful. The ascertained vision is something which will be there always handy. Okay? So that which can help you. Understand? Help you means what? It will be helpful in being objective towards the problems. You can be safe. The experience will not help you. At the point what I'm saying, therefore, here you just take ownership of happiness. That is why happiness is is nothing but just your swarupam. In non-identity, I mean, in right identity, isn't it? When you are yourself, knowing what you are, what is, you know, yourself, then the happiness is your swarupam. Got it? That we will see in the class.
One minute, what is asked for the town? In the verse, it's like, what a prayer, what asked for the prayer.
Yeah. See, aspadatta, paraprema aspadatta. Aspadam means a source. Paraprema aspadam. Paraprema aspadam means a source of exalted love, absolute love. Okay? A source of absolute love. Parama or para prema aspadam. Bhagavan parama prema aspadaha. Means what? Bhagavan is the absolute, ultimate source of exalted love. Okay. Now, aspadatta means what? Having the status of being the source of exalted love. Aspadattaya means what? As the one having the status of being the source of exalted love. Third case, as the one having the status of being the source of absolute love, aham sahadrashta, I the knower, as the source of exalted love, absolute love, I entertain a desire, what? Here. The one who thinks, okay, may I not cease to exist and may be there always. Okay, who is it? Isn't it? I am that very source of love. Again, I tell you one thing. This also I explain many times in my class. Love. Again, another word, love. We always say, okay, let me connect it now. So, reveling in the vision of fullness of happiness. In jnanam, in the wake of clear vision of one's own self being the Atma, having claimed happiness on one's own swarupam, a person, what is reveling? Just being yourself is reveling in the vision of fullness of happiness. And we repeatedly say this in the class, there's no greater luxury than reveling in the vision of one's own nature. So, reveling in the vision of fullness of happiness means, so expression, what is love? Expression of fullness is love. What is love? A very important lesson I'm giving you. Expression of fullness is love. Expression of fullness is love. So, what is love? When there is fullness here, please understand, if I have a vision, if there's a vision in this intellect and there is fullness, there is happiness, there's anandaha. And then when there's fullness of happiness, then there is no dependence. When I discover happiness as my own swarupam, in the vision, there is no dependence upon anything in the world or anybody in the world for one's happiness and security. When there's no dependence, okay, nothing in the world, please, for a person who is availing the vision of fullness, nothing in the world is a source of happiness, source object of pleasure. Therefore, the person does not have any raga. I tell you how the raga dvishas resolve, I tell you. For a person of fullness, for a person who has a vision of fullness, who revels in the vision of fullness of happiness, there's no dependence. There's no dependence upon anything in the world for his happiness. Because there's no dependence upon the world for his happiness, no such a thing called object of pleasure in the world for the person. Understand? Is it clear? Therefore, nothing in the world is a source of happiness for his person. Therefore, there's no raga towards anything. Nothing in the world can make the person unhappy also. Nothing in the world can make the person happy. Nothing in the world can make the person unhappy also. Is it clear? The world can make a person unhappy. World can be instrumental in making a person unhappy. The person is dependent on the something for his happiness and security. A person thinks something else is responsible for one's unhappiness. The person who is reveling in the vision of fullness, who is not, becomes independent of the world for his happiness and security. Therefore, understand, nothing can make him unhappy, nothing can make him unhappy also. Therefore, there's neither raga nor dvesha towards anything in the world. Is it clear? This is how a person becomes free from the hold of likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes resolve. There's no liking rises, no dislike rises, no raga towards anything, no dvesha towards anything. Even dvesha towards something also is attachment. Understand? Dependence. We think something else is responsible for my unhappiness, then that's attachment. Because of dvesha. Something is a source of pleasure for me, then, okay, I'm dependent on something else, again, it's attachment. So it's for the person who has discovered happiness as his own surupam, he is not dependent on the world for anymore, for his happiness. Therefore, when the person becomes independent of the world, the person is free from likes and dislikes towards anything and everybody in the, anybody in the world, okay, that is the expression of fullness. So expression of fullness is what love. This person, understand, the non-demanding person. That is what is love. So in love, what happens? The person becomes the all accommodative. All accommodative because there's no dependence. No nonsense behavior can irritate the person. Okay, you're not dependent. This is how he should sit. This is how she should serve. This is how he must be. This is how it must be. This is how that must be. Understand? There's no demand whatsoever. There's no dependence whatsoever. No behavior becomes responsible to trigger my unhappiness. Damn happiness already. Understand? No behavior can trigger any of my unhappiness. Therefore, this in expression of fullness is love. Love is non-fault finding all accommodation. I do not find fault with anybody in the world. In fact, that is wrong, this is wrong, that is bad, this is bad. No irritability is all problems is with me. If there is inadequacy, I will see inadequacy everywhere. இங்கு குறை இருந்தால் எங்கும் குறை பார்ப்போம். இங்கு நிறைவு இருந்தால் we will not see any குறை outside. If there's fullness here, there's only fullness outside. If there is inadequacy, I'll find everything inadequate. Got it? நிறைவில் குறை காணார். குறையில் குறையே காண்பார். See, Tamil under Saptaka is happy now. That is every word of what he said. Understand what I'm saying? So in fullness, you do not see inadequacy anywhere. This is what Saul, where is inadequacy now? The problem is not anywhere in the world. You are the, no, the problem is you, solution is you. Somebody always says, the problem is here. Here inadequacy. So anything becomes the irritabilities also. Any behavior, anything becomes, anything irritates me because of the problem of inadequacy here. So here, that's why what is love? Expression of fullness is love. And the love is all accommodative, non-fault finding, all accommodation. Isn't it? How I accommodate all? Accommodation means what? Not being disturbed by anything in any situation in the world. I accommodate. There is no dependence. This is what DL magnanimity, okay? Magnanimity goes with the vision. How big the person is, how wider the vision, more magnanimous the person is. Once there is love, all non-fault finding, all accommodation is there, what? Then that person, okay, all accommodative person becomes a center of attraction. Everybody, I like no, the child goes behind the mom, no way. Or the father. Then the child, no, whatever nonsense behavior the child says. My own child, no, we accommodate. We accommodate, parents accommodate the children's behavior, even though you know, don't like it. Because of your affection and love. Here, the Mahajnanis are all accommodative. And that's why, you know, then because what now? Even because they understood. I feel understood. When I'm accommodated, I feel understood. My God, what gives me great relief. If I feel understood by somebody, I am understood. Somebody understands me means, okay, that doesn't find fault with me. So, I love that person. I like that person. Attraction. Understand now? So, love, expression of fullness is love. Love is non-fault finding, all accommodation. And this non-fault finding, all accommodation, love is what? All attractive. All attractive. That's why any Mahatma, we can see how Mahatma become all attractive people. All attractive. And all attractive means what? Anything that attracts is beauty. What is beauty now? Anything attractive is beauty. So all accommodative, non-fault finding, all accommodative love is beauty. Love is beauty. So beauty is what now? No? Say, what is beauty? Not beautiful, beauty. So beauty is vision, ultimately. Your nature. Got the order now? This I taught many years ago. Explained it. Got it? It's a very important lesson to remember. There's no greater beauty than being all attractive. And being all attractive is an effortless, natural thing. Feature, isn't it? For a person of love. A person of love is the one who can accommodate. There any finding fault with anybody. And this non-fault finding nature is because of non-dependence, independence. Non-demanding. Because there is expression of fullness. For fullness, what do? Just be yourself. Is it clear? This is the thing.
So many things. Now, you say it becomes all accommodating, right? So Krishna was all accommodating. But at the right time, at the right time, he was agitating Arjuna to act, you know, and take part in the war.
Who accommodates?
Krishna is all accommodating, isn't he?
That's yeah. The
expression of love.
Yeah.
So we regard him. But at the right time, he also instigated, you know, he instigated Arjuna to fight in the war, didn't he?
That is different. See, Krishna could do anything objectively. Krishna was not disturbed. What is relevance now, the question?
So I guess the question is, right, so it's all accommodating is good, but we shouldn't mistake it for being a doormat. I think is even with us, you correct us at the right time.
No. That is what I'm saying. You have to understand what it means by saying being all accommodative. I should not allow myself to be disturbed by others' behavior. When I do not allow myself to be disturbed by others' behavior, my peace is not disturbed at all, however others behave. Then I'm okay. Then I can, other behavior does not disturb me. Objectively, I can say, please don't do this, please do this. That saying, okay, that's doing the needful in a given situation without being disturbed by others' behavior. So that how you see it, if I go and tell, please don't do this, please do this, I say, it is not my expression of my disturbance. I do not allow myself to be disturbed by anything. Understand? But still I do the needful. So Krishna was non-disturbable peace. Krishna was personification of Anandaha, Tribhangi. Krishna is what? Krishna, Greek word Krishnaha means what? All attractive fullness. All attractive happiness is Krishna. Akrishati manamsi iti Krishna. Krishna is a personification of fullness of happiness. So he was, isn't it? So he was himself, he never allowed himself to be disturbed. But still he had to instruct, do the needful. See, playing the role, one's own role, without allowing oneself to be disturbed by external situations. Listen now. If you have the vision, you will be doing the needful, still you will not allow yourself to be disturbed. Your emotions must be stirred. External situations can stir your emotions. They can surface and then there can be restlessness. There can be disturbance. Your stillness of the peace of your mind, the stillness of your mind is not at all disturbed because nothing from your subconscious can be stirred. When can they stir? External situations can become instrumental in stirring the triggering, okay? It's triggering your emotions to for them to surface. So to disturb the peace, easiness is possible only if you are dependent on the world. Got the point what I'm saying? If you are independent means what? You can be independent only if you discover, if you are reveling in the vision of fullness. Is it clear now? See, no external situation can become instrumental in triggering the emotions in your mind. Because for a person of vision and wisdom, all the emotions become resolved for good. Nothing can be triggered. You are getting what I'm saying? Is it clear? Anger can be triggered. Raga doshas can be triggered. Jealousy can be triggered. Hatred can be triggered. fear can be triggered, anxiety can be triggered, anything can be triggered in any given situation by any behavior. The triggering is possible only if you are dependent on the world for your happiness and security. If you are a person of inadequacy, if you are a person of the person reveling in the vision of fullness, then you are independent of the world, means nothing can trigger. In dependence, the world can become nimittam, instrument in triggering your own problems. Understand? In the wake of the vision, in revealing the vision of the fullness, when everything becomes resolved, no external situation can trigger anything. Triggering itself is not possible. Where's the question of surfacing? You must surface for your peace to be disturbed. You got the point what I'm saying? Do you see this, what I'm saying? Got it? See, the whole beautiful teaching is the world is never responsible for the lot what you're going through. And the world is not the source of happiness also. Understand? So what we'll do, we'll have the class hereafter. And I'll give you time. When you want to ask me something, you make a note of what you want to ask me immediately. When you feel like asking, exactly make a note of it. Then ask me the end of the class hereafter. Okay, this class is okay. This last class, a short class. Vakyavritti class only this is.
You continue down with the text because I didn't properly.
I don't know what I'm saying. Not now. No, after. No, not Devi Mahatma. Mm-hmm. The following class?
Later.
Later we're going to some satsang. Some questions. We can have Mark all your questions and things like that. We can discuss. The three classes a day should be okay with one Samskritam class, isn't it? And because, is it clear now? Mm-hmm. I'll stop the class now because we have to go for supper. The short class. Okay. I told them we'll come at 7:45 for dinner. But it's 8:30 now. So 7:30 now. By the time you get up, you go to room, cook, come back. You're coming straight for lunch, dinner?
Yeah.
Okay. So is it clear now?
Yeah.
Any other questions you have? Yeah. So, we do not become doormat. The very problem, I become a doormat itself is expression of your notion. I become a doormat. I make other person a doormat. Being accommodative. I am accommodative if you say there's ahankara, there's ajnana. Without saying I am accommodative, effortlessly, naturally, you become accommodative as a result of the vision of having the luxury of reveling the vision of fullness. Got it? Mm-hmm. Right, perfection. Yeah. Of course, see, when you try to be accommodative by living a life of dharma, people may think that you are, they may think, okay, I can use for fellow as a doormat. He accommodates me all my nonsense. Then it's okay, that is their problem. Okay? You are very strong. You don't think you become a doormat. If you live a life of dharma, means you're the bravest person, the strongest person. Commitment is to Bhagavan. Isn't it? So you be, see, being, living a life of dharma does not mean becoming weak. It's a big problem that is. Still you are brave and strong and courageous, but you are pious, you are compassionate, you are accommodating. Accommodating nonsense also out of compassion or out of not hurting, out of the sensitivity of not wanting to hurt. Sometimes, no? You tolerate. That is your effort to live a life of dharma. Got the point now? So in living a life of dharma without having the vision also, when you, as a sattvic person, when you live a life of dharma also, you're accommodative. then others may think they make yourself, okay, they may take think, but you don't think you become a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
Others will think that I'm a doormat. If you think, again, some sort of reluctance, again, some fear. That is why, understand Shastra teaching, live a way of ordinary Shastra. Vedam Sharanam Gacchami, Shrutim Sharanam Gacchami, Shastram Sharanam Gacchami, Bhagavantam Sharanam Gacchami. That's all. On the right track. That's the strength. Okay, we'll see later on, okay? Om Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.